Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Good morning and welcome back, because we're now in part three, which means we've taken about a 6 or 7 week break since the last time that we've been on this topic. And the last time we did this topic, it was completely virtual. So it was pre-recorded and posted. And so if you missed the first two talks, they're uploaded on our church YouTube page. But just as a framework, the first talk that we did on humility was seeking to empty ourselves. And what we talked about was how, in order to make room for God, we have to empty ourselves of our own will, our own ego, and really to seek the will of the Father. And in order to seek the will of the Son and to allow God's will to work in us by emptying ourselves, so that the Holy Spirit can not only fill us but direct us. The second week we talked about how we can approach God in prayer with humility, and how when we approach God with prayer or in prayer with humility, what we're coming to God and saying is, Lord, I come to you open, not seeking what I want, but seeking what you want. And we approach God with a posture of humility. We approach God humbly and lovingly, saying, Lord, I trust you to do for me what you want. And how we can, when we come and we pray humbly before God, we may come falling before him, kneeling before him, standing, lifting our hands, lifting our voices. And we come in prayer where the whole focus is not about what I feel like, but about the glory of God. Not about what I want, but really seeking what it is that God wants for my life. Today, we're going to wrap up this mini-series on obedience, or on humility, rather, speaking about humility and obedience and the link between the two. I think one of the most challenging parts of facing and finding success in life and finding promotion and being moved to positions of authority and having all of these accolades and things thrown at us is sometimes we reach a point in life where we don't want anyone telling us what to do. And it's about what I want to do and how I want to do it. And I no longer feel the need to have an authority above me. In no longer having an elder. In Arabic, they ask the question, min al-kabir bitak, who is your elder? Who is this person's elder? Who is the one who speaks into their life? And part of our issue as humans in general is that as we find success and we grow, we don't want someone telling us what to do. Right? And so this morning I want to speak simply about the link between humility and obedience, because the two go hand in hand. Without one, the other is nearly impossible. Without obedience, I can't say that I'm truly humble. And without humility, I'll have no way to truly obey God and obey the authority of Scripture and obey the authority of the church and obey and be submissive to my elder, my spiritual elder in my life. If we are humble, we will obey. If we are humble. And if we find ourselves lacking in obedience, then we can look no further than the condition of our heart, that there's pride wedged in there. And that we are in need of that mother of all virtues, which is humility. We can say lots of good words. And as we spoke about in the very first week, we can even say really good, humble things. And unfortunately, we've been trained in life to say humble things. But fine words are no substitute for fine actions. Saying good words is no substitute for a life of humility. In Matthew chapter 21, we find the Pharisees and the scribes, they had approached Christ. And these were people who, they oftentimes, they spoke good words. But they were challenged by the idea of a true authority of God that was not only present, but relevant in their day-to-day life. And so we're going to look at this passage where they begin to question the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what do you think? So they're questioning the authority of the Lord, and he responds, as our Lord always does, with a parable. Okay? But what do you think? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." He answered and said, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I will go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, "The first." The first. This is not too different than what many who are parents know, right? That they'll say to their kids, "Go clean your room." They're like, "I don't want to. I don't. It's not fair. I don't need to clean my room. Why do I always have to clean my room?" And they hopefully they give it some thoughts. They go. They realize, like, mom and dad, they do a lot, and it's my responsibility as well. I need to do. So they feel bad, and they will actually go and then clean the room. As opposed to the other, who says, "Yeah, I promise, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right now." And then about 15 minutes later, we ask again, did you clean your room? And they say, "Oh, no, I forgot. Okay, and then 15 minutes passes. "Did you clean your room?" And they say, no, "I'm going to do it right now." Say, okay. And then 15 minutes later it passes, and we say, "Did you clean your room?" And they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I'm going to go do it right now." And they get up and go. And of course, the parents remain very calm and very gentle and very understanding during this whole process. And then about 30 minutes later, child comes out of the room. Parent thinks, child cleaned the room. And what happens? Parent goes in, and they see the room is a mess, untouched, right? They got caught up in something else. They were on the phone. They were playing games, whatever it was. Which one obeyed? Which one had the humility? The one who pouted and went and did it? Or the one who said yes and didn't do it? Of course, it's the first. Same example, right? Of course, the ideal situation is that we would listen and obey the first time. Right? That either reflection, either the second one or the first one, show that there's still some lack of humility that's in there, right? Ideally, we come to a place where we say, "I'm ready to not only listen, but to obey as well." Okay? I'm going to hear the word, and I'm going to respond to it immediately with humility. And when we don't, What that points to is a deeper thing going on, that we still have some work that we need the Holy Spirit to do inside of us, to that we would become humble and become like Christ, that we would learn from Christ in humbling ourselves. Jesus told us, "Come learn from me. Learn from me. I'm meek." We learn from the humility of Christ. If there's anything that stands out to us about Christ, he never paid lip service. He became obedient to the Father in all things. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he responded with his own internal discomfort. He still responded in humility to the Father. We'll look at that in just a little bit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, St. Paul is talking to the church of Philippi, and he's speaking to them about our Lord Jesus Christ and about the humility and the obedience of our Lord. And he says the following. He says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." He's talking to a group of people who are in conflict with one another. That's why he's saying, if you have any comfort of, if you've gained anything at all from the gospel, If you've gotten anything at all, then have one mind. Humble yourself. Because there was conflict between them, and we're going to see that very clearly right now. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Here he's pointing us to humility, because the lowliness of mind here is where, and we'll look at a quote from John Chrysostom in just a second, but this is where humility has to start, right? That's the reason why when we do a prostration or a matanya, we put our head down to the ground. What are we saying is we submit our mind, our thoughts before the authority of God. When we're reading the gospel, the priest processes the gospel around the altar, holding it up, right? And then the deacon says, stand in the fear of God. We're saying we submit to the authority of the word. And then the deacon, as he's standing up here reading, he holds the authority above his head. Why? We're saying we submit to the authority. We humble ourselves under the authority of the word that we are about to speak. And he's telling us here, but in lowliness of mind, let us esteem others better than ourselves. That's the quote from C.S. Lewis that you just read, right? It's humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It's not thinking that we're bad, terrible people. It's thinking about ourselves less. It's esteeming others above and before ourselves. It's not saying I'm bad. It's saying that this person in front of me, I can esteem them, I can lift them up. And of course, the one that we most want to esteem in our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we esteem him above all others. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Saying because he humbled himself and he obeyed, therefore God exalted. It's not the other way around. Sometimes we think we have achieved something, and so we want to walk around puffing ourselves up. And then we become Lord of our own lives. And no one has an authority over us. Because we have achieved. We have done. We're successful. We don't need anyone else to tell us what to do. But what St. Paul's reminding us here is that our Lord humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the worst kind of death there was. Why? Because he was obedient to the Father. And that takes nothing away from the Son, who's co-equal with the Father. Co-essential with the Father, right? We would never look and say that the Son is less than the Father. Right? I mean, we would say that that's a heresy to say that the Son or the Spirit are less than the Father. They're co-essential, they're co-equal. But yet, the Son remained obedient to the Father. He humbled himself before the Father. There is no greater example of humility than that of Jesus' obedience to death. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Obedience, humility, the two go hand in hand. By obedience, what we're doing is we are slaying our own will by humbly giving way to the voice of another. We're saying, I am my own self-will. What I want to do, I'm surrendering that to the voice of God in my life. I'm surrendering that to the voice of Scripture. I'm surrendering that to the authority of the church, the teaching of the church. I'm surrendering that to the one who is my elder. I'm surrendering what I want to do to the will of another. I'm slaying my own passion inside that I'm going to be Lord of my life. I'm slaying pride in my life in so doing. St. John Chrysostom, who was the bishop of the city of Constantinople at the end of the 4th century. He wrote many different works. He's referred to as the golden mouthfeel. Here I'm referred to that way. He says, it is not possible to show humility unless if it is also in our power to do otherwise. We can only show humility if we have the ability to be proud, right? So he's telling us, for if it is necessary for us to be humble, even against our will, that excellency of humility comes not from the spirit or the will, but from necessity. We have to choose to do it. It's a need that we have to humble ourselves. This virtue, he says, is called humble-mindedness because it is the humbling of the mind. It is us saying, I'm going to change the way I think about myself. Maybe I'm not all that and a bag of chips, after all. Maybe I'm, like my parents told me my whole life, I was the best, I was the greatest, I was there's no one like, but maybe that voice is a voice that needs to be corrected. Maybe I do make mistakes. For sure I make mistakes. For sure I need an authority over me. For sure I need to submit. But in order to do so, I have to be willing to humble my mind and to change my mind and to truly repent. That idea of repentance, metanoia, means a transformation of the mind, a change of the mind, to change from a place of seeing myself exalted to submitting myself just as our Lord submitted himself. Not my will be done, but your will. And he was in anguish. And our Lord bled, sweat blood, because it was a heavy burden that he was about to carry. But he remained obedient. How can we practice humility? I'm going to give you 4 quick points and then we'll wrap up. Number one, steps to cultivating humility in obedience is to stay awake. Stay awake. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Walk with alertness. Walk with awareness. Avoid, like your homework on this one is to avoid thoughtlessness. Sometimes our mind wanders to things and they begin to daydream about things. And we begin to think about like things that are perhaps sinful or that are not of the will of God. We want to stay alert, to walk in sobriety, right? St. Paul tells us that we should be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, that we would remain alert, right? Sometimes, whether it's chemical things or just our own minds wander away, that we become like lackadaisical. So number one is stay awake. Keep yourself present with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is not to walk in terror, but this is to walk in reverence, knowing that the Lord is always present. Last night in Bible study, we were talking about 2 Chronicles chapter 2 when King Solomon begins to build the temple. And I was sharing last night that like the temple wasn't there because it was the presence of God, that God was only present in the temple. In fact, what King Solomon says is, this temple is being built, but who can contain God? He made the heavens and the heavens of heavens. In other words, he's not local just inside the building. He's not only here at 08831, okay? 143 North Bergen Mills. That he's local, he's only in church. No, he's present. It draws our awareness to God's presence. And we come to gather together. But we need to stay awake as we enter into the world. When we go in peace, we walk in sincerity. We walk with awareness. Number two is that we surrender our will to the Lord. In other words, put differently, don't give in to yourself. Don't give in to yourself, right? Sometimes we're really, like, we want to do something, And we're like, I'm just going to do it this one time. Just this once. It's not that big of a deal. It's a small thing. Don't give in to yourself. Surrender your will to the Lord. Luke 2:22-42. Again, not as I will, but as your will. Some homework on this one. Who gets bothered when someone has told them a story that they've already heard? They're like, dude, I've heard this one. We want to interrupt it. Whether it's our kids, it's our parents, it's our spouse. Your homework for this week on surrendering is let someone tell you a story you've already heard. Okay? Surrender. Surrender your will. Let the other person finish the story. Okay? And if you've read something in Scripture and you said, I know that verse, I know that, read it again. And surrender to that word again. Okay? Number three is obey. Obey. We are told constantly, follow your dreams. Obedience means don't follow your dreams. Obedience means follow the will of the Lord. Obedience means we move from hearing what we want and from hearing to hearing the truth to the point of turning to the Lord and obeying. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we just read, for the love of God, be obedient. Be obedient. Christ became obedient unto death. He became obedient unto death. Okay? When we remain obedient, we become imitators of Christ. We become like him. And number four, your homework for this one. The next time someone treats you unfairly, cuts in line, plays loud music around you, eats something with their mouth open and irritates you, or says something rudely to you, just smile and thank God for it. Just smile. Say, Lord, I'm walking as you do. I'm surrendering my ego, my pride, and walking as you did. Who allowed himself to be spit upon and mistreated and all that stuff. Okay? Obey. It's better to obey God than to obey man. It's better to respond to God than to respond to the passions that get stirred up when people do something that's off-putting or upsetting to us. And number four is persevere. Persevere. Okay? There's a quote, be willing to suffer fools gladly, which means be kind to and patient to people who are annoying and bothersome to you. Persevere. Like, we're all good when things are good. But when someone upsets us, we may let it go once, maybe twice, but we need to be willing and prepared to persevere, to endure, to keep going. Matthew chapter 10, be patient in suffering, even when you encounter difficulties for injustice, because Scripture says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Shall be saved. You want to learn to persevere in humility? Your homework on this one is spend an entire day without correcting someone. Yeah, that's a hard one. Okay? Persevere. Persevere in stillness, in silence, observing the other, listening to the other, esteeming others better than yourself. I'm not talking to parents who need to correct a child that might be doing something that could harm themselves, but talking to each of us who like to correct others because they should have done it this way. Okay? They should have done it this way. There is a direct correlation between obedience and humility. Your homework this week, our homework, my homework this week with you is to do these things. To stay alert throughout the week, to surrender, to obey, and to persevere, to push through the week. And all through that, keeping your eyes fixed upon the crucified Christ who humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. All glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.